Please listen carefully.
And now, live from a panel room at Fandom Legacy Con in Richardson, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two MCs shooting the breeze, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today is a bonus Thursday episode.
Ooh, special.
We were just at Fandom Legacy 2020. We were hosting it. We were emceeing it.
And we were having an all-around great time.
It was so much fun. Our Monday episode, you heard it. It was with Thomas McKee. We recorded that at our booth there.
Wonderful actor and one of our new friends.
For now, I'm going to play Warhammer 40,000 with him. We are already penciling that into the schedule. It'll be so much fun. Today's episode is our first panel that we did out there, which was a Q&A with us about making a podcast.
Our panel took place in one of the excellent panel rooms there, so the sound may be a little different than our normal studio sound, but quality should be just as good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thank you, everyone, for coming out to the panel. And here we go.
Get to listening.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions panel. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And we're going to talk about podcasting.
We're doing a panel on making a podcast.
We are doing a panel.
And we're making a podcast while we talk about making a podcast.
Yes. So if it sounds funny, it's because we're in a big giant room. And we're usually not in a big giant room.
Where are we though? We're at Fandom Legacy Con.
We are. We're at Fandom Legacy Con 2020. It's a baby con.
Woo!
And we are here to talk about podcasting and how you can be one of the 900,000 people that are doing it right now.
There definitely are oodles and bunches and tons of podcasts out there.
I think it just literally came out, the statistic. It's 900,000.
Is the official number?
Yes.
What? 900,000?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so we're like 182 out of 900,000.
That's
like
why it. There's a funny gif. Yes, it's a gif. There's a funny gif.
GIF.
GIF. There's a... That has, I don't know what this is from, but it's like a bunch of people surfing, but it's way too many people surfing on this trying to get the same wave, and they're just crashing into each other. I don't know where this happened, but I saw someone with that GIF, and it said podcasting in 2019, which was last year.
It is a crowded beach.
Yes, crowded beach. Everyone trying to catch a wave. That Joe Rogan's on top of.
But right we're doing now. Good catching our wave because we have our own podcast.
We do.
What's the name of our podcast?
Assuming Positions. I said that up top.
I know.
So, questions from the audience. I see someone's at the mic already.
I'm confused about which side each of you is on.
I'm either on the left side or the right side, depending on who's sitting where.
It's true.
But when I've heard the podcast before, you've always opened with where you are.
Oh,
we're at the Hyatt Regency, North Dallas.
Uh-huh, yeah.
This place is great. They got a whole bunch of accommodations. There's a bunch of people around. A bunch of rooms.
No
open.
One said it was a good question.
The rooms are fancy. They are. It's just been remodeled. It's very, very nice rooms.
I like it.
Yeah. What was the hardest part in getting your podcast off the ground?
The hardest part of getting the podcast off the ground? That's a good question.
Yep. What was our biggest obstacle?
Our biggest obstacle, I think, was finding out where to host it. Like, we knew how to record.
Yes.
We figured out how to record, but how do you get it out to the masses? How do you get it on iTunes?
Yes. How do you get other people to hear it? Because that's the whole point of podcasts, is you want people to listen to it.
Because otherwise you're just recording onto something for no one to hear ever, making your own mixtape or something that maybe you'll give to your girlfriend later.
Yep.
So did you used to do that? I used to, I didn't have a girlfriend to give it to, nerd, but I used to actually make mixtapes, and in between, I'd like record like I was a DJ.
There you go.
And like
do interstitials and introduce the songs.
Yeah.
That was the start of your podcasting brain?
I guess so. Strange.
That's a great way to do mixtapes, though.
Because I had the thing with the, it had the CD. It had the CD up top, and it had the tape deck in it, so you record off the CD.
Yes.
And then I don't know how I did it with the mic part. I don't know how I did that part. I guess I must have had a mic that...
Talking into your boombox?
I must have had a line in.
You are talking about old Generation X analog equipment.
Oh, you know what? I think that you are able to talk into a headphone and use it as a speaker, like a backwards speaker.
There you go.
Is that a thing? Yeah, I have seen some nods. And I see some other ways. I see, I'm going to pretend that's like a Hungarian nod or whatever country that is where the no means yes.
Yes.
Is that Hungary?
I think so. Or Hawaii. No, that's hello and goodbye with aloha.
But the hardest part was finding out how to get it out to people. And at first I thought it was just, you just submit it to iTunes, but that's not how it works.
Nope.
And originally it was RSS feeds. You put it out on an RSS feed.
That is the key thing,
and,
yep.
And you could just do that pretty much yourself, but that's really not the way people do that anymore. Most people use a service.
Yep.
So we started using Podomatic.
That is the one we selected. There's a couple out there. I mean, there are free services like SoundCloud and Bandcamp where you can like post audio and get yourself out there, but it's still up to you to get the following. With a service like Podomatic, you get the server hosting, you get the ease of upload, and yeah, just the whole, they help you out with every step of the way.
Right. And if you start doing well enough, if you start getting good numbers, Podomatic and many others will kind of take you on as a featured podcast, which we haven't gotten to yet, but with everyone's help, we will.
We're getting there. Baby steps.
Baby steps.
But speaking of baby steps, what was our first step? Why did we start this? There are 900,000 other podcasts.
Well, at the time we started the podcast, there was only 800,000.
We could do it.
We could do it. So, it's Mikey and I work at the same place.
We do.
And when Mikey was fresh and new, we found out, I don't know how we found out we both listened to the same podcast. It was accidental, right?
I think it was like, usually, and this con is an example, is when you find somebody of similar ilk, you can almost smell out the nerd. You'd be like, I think I smell a little bit of nerd on you. You got a look about you. You got something in your eye that says me, either you like comedy or nerdy stuff or podcast, but it was at work and we started talking about podcasts. The Nerdist podcast specifically, I think, was the first one.
It was the Nerdist podcast, yeah. So, and then it was just Nerdist and then Rogan, and we listened to all the same podcasts, so yep, we kind of had that in common. And then we became friends and started hanging out more together and having these lunches where we'd be talking about all this stuff. And then we kept hearing Joe Rogan does it all the time, mostly with his guests, because that's who he talks to. Chris Hardwick on The Nerdist always did it too.
Oh, yeah.
Make a thing, make a podcast. It's easy. Just do it.
Yeah. If you have something in your brain, just make it.
So we kept hearing that in our ear. And we're like, you know, our lunchtime conversations could actually be a podcast.
They were interesting enough. We were laughing a whole bunch.
Interesting to us.
Yes.
So
and niche to everybody else.
Yeah, so we basically just started recording our lunchtime conversations.
Yep.
And putting it out there.
But it wasn't just like we sat down in microphones and made our first episode. We had to do like trial runs and
We did do a lot of trial runs. It was a good 6 months, I think, before we actually put anything out there. So we wanted it to sound really well. Well, good. Good is the right thing. I was trying to use fancy grammar, and I used it improperly.
You did good and well.
Yeah. We were trying to make it sound really good with proper really well. But that's the main thing. The thing that really put us off about some podcasts, no offense to, we know there's successful podcasts out there that don't sound that great or have people Skyping with each other across the country.
It sounds like they're tapped in and the audio is all wonky.
Sometimes they over-talk each other because of the delay and things like that. So, I don't know. We realized all the podcasts we liked sounded really good.
That is one of the key things.
So we wanted it to sound good. So we invested in good microphones, good recording equipment.
Yep.
And
that was easy, though, because we're both noobs to this. So when we first started, it was just researching and discovering everything. And equipment was the weirdest thing, because what do you need to record a podcast, you know? Turns out, not all that much. Two microphones, some cables, a mixer, and a Zoom H1 portable recorder.
But you don't need a turntable, though.
Yeah, that's Beck. Beck needs two turntables and a microphone.
We need a microphone and maybe a turntable.
We could admit, hey, that's what we plan for future podcasts. We're going to incorporate a turntable somehow. Maybe.
Wiki, wiki, wiki. Wait, no, you need two if you're going to be scratching and stuff. Man, Beck was right. You need two turntables. Just have one.
That's where it's at.
All right, we have another question. Someone with the mic? I see. Yes.
My question is twofold. Uh-huh. How many episodes have you done, and what advice would you have for a young person just starting out in podcasting?
Okay, how many episodes have we done?
You don't know off the top of your
head. I don't know off the top of your head.
I feel so betrayed right now.
You know off the top of your head?
I do. I post every single episode. Okay, I have to number them.
Hold on, we're going to check. We're going to pull up Spotify. We're on Spotify, by the way. I'm going to pull up the Spotify. Okay, Mikey, how many podcasts?
As of last Monday, we just posted episode 88.
88. Eric Lindros podcast.
Yes.
88 podcasts. So we've done 88. We put out one a week.
One a week on Mondays.
So if you do math, you'll find out how long we've been doing it.
Yes. And that's also a key thing, just to point it out here.
No, we had some double weeks, though. So technically, that's not true.
For special events, yep.
Yeah.
But something that we learned early on that we stick to that seems to be, this will fall in the line of the advice you were asking about, but a weekly schedule or some sort of regulated schedule is key.
Yes.
You can't, any podcast that's sort of whimsical about when they post, like, oh, we have an episode, we'll put it up now, doesn't really work. People like consistency, they like routine, they like having it to look forward to and know when it's coming. So that was something we decided really early.
And that is good advice for someone just starting out.
There you go.
Consistent. You have to put them out. Pick a, if once a week, that's fine. Even some people just do a once a month podcast, but it comes out on the same day every month. So
for us, it was when our lunch breaks were and when can we record?
Yeah. Well, so we put ours out on Monday.
Yes.
Is when our podcast come out.
Start the week off on the good foot.
So yes. Start the week off with some nerdy positivity.
Another piece of advice that I think leads into something that we put a lot of thought into when we were first starting up our podcast is figure out what you want to talk about. Figure out what your angle is. Figure out what your, not necessarily audience, but what it is about you that is your podcast. Because like we said, we started off when it was just us talking at lunch. Mm-hmm. But then we had to figure out, like, what's the routine? What's the whole premise of our show? Mm-hmm. We started off with the first, like, a couple of different ideas at first. Do you remember any of them?
Wow, we did start off with other ideas.
the very first premise
my
was our
brain.
Was our ages. That was one of our ins, one of our niches.
Was our ages?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm a Gen Xer, and you're a millennial.
There you go.
But you're an elder millennial.
I am.
And I'm a younger Gen Xer, sort of, kind of. I think so.
That's why we work well together, I think.
But yeah, but well, that still kind of is an angle. That's on our cards and everything.
Oh, very much so. But that, I think that was one of the first ideas is like, what makes us different? Oh, we could do it from this perspective.
Yeah, it was just going to be that. But we needed to comment on things we're interested in.
Very much so.
So we're both fairly nerdy, interested in things in fandom and gaming. And
what kind of stuff for you?
Stuff like that. So, well, I mean, initially I'm super into Star Wars, but if there's 900,000 podcasts, 710,000 of them are Star Wars podcasts, I think.
It does seem to be one of the larger fandoms out there. So
there's a lot of Star Wars podcasts. So even though we talk about Star Wars on our podcast quite often, there's so much noise in that area.
Which kind of leads into how we developed our second sort of perspective and angle for our podcast relates to Star Wars and the old head Star Wars nerds and being angry about old Star Wars.
Yeah, it's that was the thing too, is that there's a lot of, we kind of fell into it more as we went along, as I was like going through the social medias to promote the podcast and seeing what was out there and going into different fandom groups and everything like that, you started to see how much toxicity is out there in fandom.
Oh, very much so.
And especially Star Wars fandom, unfortunately. And that really wasn't cool to me or to you.
No.
And what's funny is that I used to be pretty toxic about the prequels. I was one of those Gen Xers who saw the Star Wars prequels and was like, these ruined my childhood.
You ruined Star Wars!
You've ruined Star Wars forever. And so talking to Mikey about it and stuff kind of showed me like, hey, man, there's a whole generation of people who love these movies a lot.
They're called millennials.
So maybe you should look into see what do they love about it?
Yeah.
And through that thinking, it was kind of helped me realize that, oh, there's a pathway out of this toxic thinking.
Oh, very much so.
And you can actually enjoy things that you didn't like through other people's eyes. If you look at it through other people's eyes.
Yes.
So, and the unfortunate thing that's happening right now that I'm noticing a lot is that the lovely millennials.
That's me. Thank you.
Are hating the new ones so much that they sound like the Gen Xers did back when the prequels came out. So, I mean, it is crazy. I literally saw a Twitter post that said, this is just funny to me because back in the day, I remember how derided the prequels were.
Yeah.
But this person literally said, 1 through 6 are the only true Star Wars movies. And I'm like, wait, You're counting the prequels in that?
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to me that they love these movies that had universally been considered poor
yes.
by a lot of people. And then now they're hating on the new ones like people hated on the ones that they love. I don't know. My brain was melting.
It seems cyclical. I mean, is the toxicity inherent then? That in order to be a true Star Wars fan, you got to hate some portion of them?
I don't know. It's kind of strange because, and we've talked about it too, about how the Marvel fans and fandom, they don't seem to have as many problems as Star Wars fans do.
Yep.
And we think that's because, or my theory, at least, I don't know if it's your theory too, but you've agreed with me.
Assume your position. Tell me now.
But my theory, at least, is that comic books have inherently been something that, depending on the writer and artist, they've always been different. The characters have different... how many Spider-Mans are there? There's like Amazing Spider-Man, regular Spider-Man, Incredible Spider-Man, something yep. Spider-Man.
Very much so.
So I think comic fans... were used to, like, they go see this movie and they're like, oh, this is a one version of my favorite characters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're used to seeing versions. And so
having
they don't,
things change. And
right.
All that
so they have things change. They don't really have as much preconceived notions because the comic books can all go in all different directions.
Yep.
But for some reason, I think part of it is that there was an old canon that got washed away and some people thought the movie should be that
I
in
get
Star
you.
Wars. And then. For some people, people speculate horribly irresponsibly, and they want what they want to happen, what they want to happen. And the thing is, too, is I don't understand why in Marvel, the Marvel people going into those movies, there had to be people sitting there going, I want this to happen, but you never hear anyone complain about...
Well, just, I mean, you brought up the Spider-Man movie, so I'll take that as a template, but
yeah.
There are even, maybe not to the extent of toxicity that's in Star Wars, there are people that are like... Andrew Garfield is not my Spider-Man. It's Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Tobey Maguire isn't my Spider-Man. It's the other guy from Spider-Man. Tom Holland. How could I forget Tom Holland? That guy.
Yeah, I get that, but I don't see and hear them as much as I hear the Star Wars people.
True.
They are really angry.
But that's where we come in.
Is it the dark side? It's the dark side. That's why, because there's the dark side in Star Wars. So, we have another question?
Yes. How do you respond to your critics that claim you hate things you don't understand? For example, the adventures of Buckaroo Banzai across the eighth dimension.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. Hot topic.
Yep.
Recent podcast. For those of you who don't know, oh my goodness gracious.
We have a theme in our podcast.
Yeah, we do various little themes in our podcast, and one of the things we do is what we call reassumptions.
Yes.
And we will go back to an old classic film and fandom or show or whatever, and we'll watch it and then do a round table and re-rate it, re-review it.
Yeah.
We'll
look
see
at
if
it.
Something holds up still.
Yep. Look at it with fresh eyes and see if we have different opinions, worse opinions, better opinions.
So we try and find stuff that we haven't seen in a long time because... You know how sometimes you'll be like, oh, I used to love this when I was a kid. And then you'll watch it and be like, why did I love this when I was a kid?
What happened?
What happened? What happened to you, He-Man? Why are you talking so funny, Skeletor? I don't remember. You used to scare me. Now you make me laugh. I'm confused.
Who took these rose-colored glasses from my eyes?
I know. So so we recently did a reassumption of Buckaroo Banzai, and I didn't like it very much. We do a pizza rating.
We do.
Out of 8 slices of pizza, we give 8 slices of pizza, of course, is
a 10 out of 10.
It's a 10 out of 10. It's an 8 out of 8.
8 out of 8.
5 stars. 2 thumbs up.
2 thumbs up.
Copyright. Siskel and Ebert. But
you rated it poorly.
But I rated it poorly. So the question was how can I rate something that I don't understand? I don't think I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I understood it.
But I think the important part is... You gave it a low rating, but the whole time we were reassuming, we were trying to look at it instead because the toxicity we're talking about, the whole point of our podcast comes up again. It's on brand for us, but we don't just say something is bad or something sucks just because it sucks. It's never like, oh, this is terrible. Don't like it at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you don't like something about it, like Buckaroo Banzai, wasn't for Kevin, is trying to find something about it or understand why it wasn't for you. So
I'll officially say that I've slept on it since I've seen it, because that was a straight up thing. I gave it 3 out of 8 slices.
I think so, yeah.
Then I'm willing to go up a slice to give it 4 out of 8 slices.
Does this have anything to do because you were coerced by a commenter on our social media?
No, I was not coerced by a commenter on our social media. Listen, when somebody says you're wrong, it's good to look in the mirror and try and think.
Yeah.
Was I wrong? So I thought about it a little more, and I might have been a little harsh on it. So I think I'll...
How can you not love a sci-fi rock band that goes and fights adventures and monsters and goes through the 8th dimension?
I think I understand better than I did, but I'm not going past 4 slices on Buckaroo Banzai. That movie is not a good movie.
Yep.
It is fun. I get it. If you loved it, more power to you.
Exactly. But that ties into why we make our podcast is these are our opinions. It's called assuming positions because we're assuming hot takes and just assuming opinions. Everybody's got opinions, and they're kind of like, oh, can't say that. Everybody's got opinions. And you know the rest of that saying. So it's now trying to make better informed decisions and have a little, little information and perspective on it rather than just be like, I love this. This is great. Or this is terrible. I never want to see it again. Would you watch Buckaroo Banzai again?
I would watch Buckaroo Banzai again with my friends who love it.
Oh, it's always a fun time.
So, no, seriously, I don't think I would ever sit down and watch it on my own. But, and the things too, I have one more, just to add on that, I think that, and this is where the extra slice comes in too, because of how much talent is in that movie, the movie has legs, I think.
I got you.
Less on the movie making and more on the fact that there's so many people in it who became famous. It's a murderer's row of people early on in their career.
Oh, right when they were starting out too, yeah.
Right. So I think that's kind of what... That's the same reason why I think that Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is a cult thing and it's a fun thing, I think the reason that has legs is because of who's in it too. There's a lot of people in it who became very famous.
I gotcha.
So I think that's what separates Buckaroo Banzai and a Rocky Horror Picture Show from what's on MST3K. I was a little harsh saying it should be on MST3K because the thing on MST3K, when you think about it, there are movies that are the same quality as Buckaroo Banzai, no offense, but they don't have the star power in it that Buckaroo Banzai does. So that's the difference. Sometimes they'll have one sort of star in some of those MST3K movies, but it's usually not more than that.
So. Well, I'm glad to hear it went up a slice.
Yes, I'll
perspective change and you get new information.
See, you can always do it. So I'm glad that my friends love that movie.
There you go.
So,
Listen, I'm here to learn about how to make a podcast.
Yes.
I'd like to know, has hosting a podcast allowed you to do something special that maybe you would not have been able to do otherwise?
Yes. Well, one other thing that's super fun is, well, this, first of all, but before this, is you can, if you have enough listenership and if you are consistent and if someone gives you a chance, you can get a media pass to go to various events.
Instead of paying for like a badge or a ticket.
Instead of paying for a badge. And shout out to Nadia over at Akon. Akon's a big convention
here in
Dallas, a big anime convention. And we apply, it's a sizable convention. It's very well known. And we applied for press passes, even though we didn't really meet their requirements as far as
what they had specifically on the sheet.
But Nadia actually listened to our podcast and said, hey, these guys are good. I'm going to give them a media pass.
So, because we were consistent and focused on our audio. And
so we got a media pass, and it was so cool to get into places you're not supposed to get into with a regular, not supposed to, but you know, when you're there as a regular guest, you can't go, but we got to go into like the dealer's hall before it was open.
Yeah.
There was nobody there, but everything was set up. It was the coolest thing.
We felt like we snuck in.
Yeah. Cause we walked up and the security guy's like, oh, they're pressed. They can go in there. And we walk in and we're like, there's nobody in here. And we could look at all the things and we could touch all the things. But, yeah, that was super cool. And seeing behind the scenes of a con...
Oh, for sure.
...was really interesting. So, yeah.
And now we're getting to do this adventure at Fandom. We've been part of it from the ground up. This is the first year of Fandom. It's the inaugural con, and we've been in part of it from the brainstorming. We've been involved. Here we are giving a panel, but we have also done hosting, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on here that I didn't even think half these things happened at cons. I just showed up and was like, oh, we can buy stuff. No, wait, there's more.
Yeah, there's so much. And this one, the Fandom Legacy is really cool because there's so much interactivity. We have all kinds of fun stuff going on. They have tokens you can get. We have
we had Clan Dodgeball earlier today.
Clan Dodgeball with dodge rocks. We're throwing rocks at each other. Yes, that's what happens at this convention. we have a little baby child. We'll call it the child.
The child.
If you know what that means,
I
the child.
He's a baby.
We have a little 3D printed versions of them hiding around, and if people find them and bring them to us, they get points.
Win
for their
tokens.
Clans. Yeah. So it's super fun. Yeah.
Scooter Shabazz emails a question in. Would like to know if you guys have a favorite episode that you've done over the last 80-some episodes, or if there is someone or something, a particular subject matter you guys really enjoyed making.
Oh, wow.
And or talking about.
Favorite, Kevin goes first because he talks first.
What? You need to think of what your favorite episode is?
There's a lot of them. I'm trying to think of the specific ones.
The one that always pops into my head, the one I usually say right away, is Evil Ted at Akon. Evil Ted, he's now like in Michaels. There's like a cosplay section in Michaels that Evil Ted branded cosplay.
It's like sponsored foam. It's awesome.
Yeah, the fact that a guy of that caliber, of that pedigree, would sit down and talk with us for a good half hour at Akon.
Oh yeah,
and he was super friendly. He was very supportive of us. He still follows us on social media, retweets stuff with us, comments on stuff. I mean, amazing. That episode just goes down as, that was one of the first episodes where I was a little nervous. I was yelling a little bit, but because it was loud in there.
Yep.
And but that was the first time I was like, oh, we can actually do this.
Yes.
Because this guy's real.
Oh, very much so.
I mean, if you don't know who Evil Ted is, he has a YouTube channel where he shows the cosplay stuff, but he's not just a regular guy doing it. He is a prop master from Hollywood. And what are you showing me? Oh, episode 52? Yes, episode 52, Evil Ted. Thank you from the audience. Our producer came by and he's like, it's episode 52.
But Evil Ted was great. And along the lines of us making a podcast, it was an example of... Because step one was us getting microphones and just making a thing. And then we leveled up and eventually got to the point it's like, well, there's a famous person right there. Do we just go ask to talk to them?
Yeah.
Like, can we just go and put a microphone in their face? And because we're at awesome events like these cons, everybody's real nice. The community is great. And people like Evil Ted will sit down and talk with you and just tell you stories.
Yeah. Starting off slow is a good thing we can add to it because... We started off just approaching cosplayers at their table.
Yep.
And that was, it was kind of funny, actually. One of our early fans was like, oh, more cosplayer interviews? And it's like, well, we're earning our stripes. We're figuring out how to do stuff. And
yep.
The cosplayers are really willing to talk to you. They love getting their social media out there.
They love building the community.
Yeah, they love building the community. So, yeah, that's, did you ever say what? Episode was your favorite?
Nope, not yet.
Oh, okay.
I was letting you go on Evil Ted.
Oh, yeah, but yes, Evil Ted.
My favorite episode is going to be a cheat answer because this is my podcast and my rules, but one thing that we do on the podcast is we do a build a crew, and that's sort of a theme, but it comes up every once in a while, and that's something I think we have fun with because instead of just talking every episode, it's cool to have a little theme to play around with and have a mind game, but... Our mental game is to take a random scenario. We've done it for fantasy squads, fantasy parties, spaceship crews, and we did a one-shot where we just hired a spy recently, but it's the hypothetical. It's assuming your favorites and picking people out of pop culture that satisfy the quota. So like when we were doing the build a fantasy party, it was like warriors and wizards and rogues, and it was just pick your favorites, and there's so much to choose from. Makes for fun conversation.
Wait, so your favorite episode is all the episodes we've done where we pick stuff?
Yes.
That's a lot of episodes.
It's great. That's why I'm cheating. That's my cheat answer.
That is totally a cheat. My favorite of those episodes was the one that's off the wall that everyone needs to... The ones where we built a sitcom family.
Oh, that, the sitcom family.
That one was crazy fun.
I think my sitcom was called Shenanigans because there was like animated people in it.
Yes, and mine was it was like a witchy one because my
it wasn't
mom,
Bewitched, but there was my,
yeah.
You had somebody from Bewitched.
Yeah, it was. We can look this up on our social media.
Yeah,
but we're yeah. It was I picked the mom. My mom was the mom from Bewitched, so she had to be a witch because.
But that like, that just ties into the nerdy conversations that we try to work into podcasts because you're sitting around and you're watching a movie and be like, oh, I would cast this person as that. Or you're thinking about, you're talking about a comic book and you say, oh, if they made a movie, who would play this person? You know, so that's the nerd conversation. And it was just natural to be like, we could podcast about it. So,
yes, yours. Mine was called The Spellersons.
Oh, The Spellersons.
If you go to our Instagram, you can see a picture. Yeah. There's a picture of me when I was a kid in there. It's great. There were so many episodes. We picked our dad, our mom, our brother, our sister, our best friend, our pet, our girlfriend, and the next door neighbor. So that was The Spellersons, and yours was called Shenanigans.
Yeah. Of course it's Shenanigans. That's what I'm known for. That's what I bring to the podcast party.
That was early on. That was early days. Early days of podcasting. Any other questions out there?
Who is your favorite announcer?
Who is our favorite announcer? We only have one announcer, and that's that guy, Brad.
It is that guy, Brad. But you bring up an excellent point that in order for us to do the podcast that we do, it's not just me and Kevin.
And he's bringing us water.
Like that's a pro.
That's why he's our favorite announcer.
I think that's a cue we've been talking too much.
Yeah, that is true. Support is very helpful. We have a crew who helps us out. That guy Brad is over here. Not Scott, our producer, is over here. They're our friends. They aren't really hired. They're volunteering
yep.
to help us out with this, to see where it goes.
They're part of our clan that's helping us make a thing.
They're part of our clan that's helping us make a thing. Yeah, you can definitely do it on your own, but so much better. The buddy system. So much better. So, and, you know, give someone to talk to. There are people out there who just do I Talk Into the Mic podcasts.
Yep.
And if you can do that, more power to you.
Hopefully you're as funny as Bill Burr, because that man's a
oh,
genius.
Oh, yeah. Bill Burr does it just talking to the mic podcast, doesn't he? He has, like, conversations with himself. It's so interesting.
It is pretty great.
I think you have to be a little off like that. Two voices in your head.
Yep. But speaking of our producer, Not Scott, he is one of the originators because we were at the zoo, we were at his house and brainstorming right in the early days of the podcast. He's one of the originators of how we end our podcast by saying the pizza's here.
Yes. Oh, we've been asked that before, and we spoiled it once before in a tag at the end. So
It's only been in the bloopers so far.
In the bloopers. So some people don't know because they don't listen to the end of the podcast.
They hear music and it's done.
Yeah, after the final music, we put bloopers in there, mainly because we actually do edit our podcast. Some people don't. Some people just let it run through. But part of making it sound nice.
Part of our process, yep.
Is editing. You can do that if you want. You don't have to. We're kind of a weird in-between. Like the people who just light up the mics and just talk and don't edit it, and like the Radiolab ones, which are heavily produced.
Very much so.
So we're slightly in between that, I guess. Mm-hmm. More on the not Radiolab side, but.
Yeah, the editing is light and it's more just for cleanup and clarity and making things smooth.
So when you have that, you have bloopers, and we put the bloopers at the end, kind of an homage to all the great Burt Reynolds movies that I grew up with.
Smokey
that
my and the Bandit?
My favorite part of those movies was the end. Because acting is you when you're a kid, you're like, oh, these people are magical, and then when you see at the end that they're just regular people and they're messing up like crazy.
Why are they laughing? Aren't they supposed to be doing their job?
Is literally slapping people.
That's the best.
So there's a
so we continue that tradition, but that's where we explain the pizza is here. But the actual story of why the pizza is here is because of producer Not Scott.
Yeah, we're at his house. This was in the 6 months when we're testing our equipment.
Yep, experimenting.
Experimenting. That's where we learned it's kind of more fun to do it in a more intimate setting, even though we're not intimate right now.
It's pretty cozy in here.
It's a cozy big room. But I lost my train of thought.
Pizza's here.
Yes. So we're literally recording. We're in Scott's garage recording. A garage is not an ideal place to record unless you soundproof it, which it wasn't. And we're in the middle of talking, and the door opens from the kitchen into the garage, and pizza's here because we had ordered a pizza.
Pizza was there.
And the pizza was, and we were like, oh, pizza's here. We're going to go. And that's how it ended.
It was great.
And then it was kind of funny that we're like, oh, what if we just end every podcast with the pizza's here?
There you go.
And sometimes a pizza is there. Sometimes a pizza isn't there.
So theater of the mind.
It's up to you, the listener, to determine whether there's a pizza there or not.
But that is one of my favorite parts of the podcast, is it's very much just taken about the things we enjoy in life or the jokes we come up with in life or the media that we're consuming. It's getting that chance to talk it out and doing it together with friends.
Yeah, you can, if you're wondering about ideas and stuff, you can talk about whatever you want to. Like I said, some people just do a Star Wars only podcast, and that's fine. A lot of people get really good traction with that.
Yep.
Most podcasts are specific. Ours is kind of different in that we're all over the place because we want to be.
Yeah, on purpose.
That's on purpose. We might be doing better in certain venues if we just hyper-focus on one thing.
Yes.
But we don't want to. I don't want to. I love Star Wars, but I don't just want to always talk about Star Wars every single week. Because, you know, there's the tentpole things that come up
yep.
that you want to talk about when the movies come out and stuff like that. But when you're doing one specific thing every single week, then you're going to get down to like, oh, this new toy's coming out, which is fine if you're into it. But, geez, I want to talk about something else.
Especially because there's so much stuff out there. There's movies, there's video games, yeah. there's comic books, there's board games, there's TV shows.
That's why Fandom Legacy Convention is such a great fit for us, because this is a multi-genre convention. It's a convention of conventions. It's a fandom convention.
It is.
It's for fandom, and that's kind of what we are. We're kind of a fandom podcast, so that's our lane. So it's kind of funny how it happens that way, too, is because depending, some of our podcasts are more successful than others as far as downloads, depending on what we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
because some people are like, oh, I'm really interested in that.
There you go.
So
on that topic, though, that is another point in Podomatic's favor. We're talking about getting a service for putting the podcast out there. One of the features that they offer is stats and downloads and information about what's actually happening, so you can keep track of the machinations and behind the scenes of your podcast to make sure everything's on the up and up.
You just used machinations.
I did.
Wow.
Give me my nickel. That's a big word.
Give it that's a 20. But you need a quarter for machinations. we have another question. Yes.
Where did your name come from?
Oh, assuming positions are scandalous name.
It is scandalous.
It is scandalous. where did that name come from? Wow. Golly.
It came from, if I remember correctly, we mentioned that we worked together, and we were just talking about what our show was about. We figured out that Kevin's the Gen X, I'm the millennial, and it's like, well, that's, you know, one step. What's the next step? And it was just like, well, we'll do hot takes. We'll have our opinions, whether they're good or bad.
Right.
And so we were like, well, we only know, like, we're trying to be broad and talk about all these different topics, you know, like comic books and games and all that. And we know a little bit about everything, but we aren't experts in anything. So we sort of knew that. So it was like, all right, these are mostly assumptions.
Yes,
so yeah. Instead of being like, hey, these are hot takes, we were just saying, hey, let's assume a position and argue it and have the nerd debate about
it. Yes, that is pretty much how it is. Pretty organic like that. And then it's also kind of funny because it's kind of scandalous sounding because of assume the position from, well, is that from Animal House?
Yes.
Yes, from Animal House. But we've been doing it long enough. It's funny because if you Google assuming positions, it used to when we first did it, because we also didn't want to have another podcast to have our name.
It's kind of like picking a band name. You got to be cool,
yeah.
You know.
So
there's already been a Smashing Pumpkins.
We're Googling stuff, and I can't remember some of the other stuff we Googled, but some of the other stuff we Googled showed up as an already named thing.
Nerd radio related stuff.
Stuff like that. It was taking
two nerds on two mics.
But when you put assuming positions in originally, the definition for assume the position came up. That's what used to come up, and that was it. Or you would see like the videos from Animal House of that scene. But now, if you Google assuming positions, our podcast shows up first.
And it's intriguing. What are the positions? Why are they assuming? What do the thumbs mean?
Another audience member here, too shy for the microphone, wants to know, what's next for the Assuming Positions podcast?
What's next?
Dun, dun, dun. What is in the future?
What is in the future? Well, we're about to send off our press application for Akon again.
That is correct.
And hopefully Nadia still loves us.
Shout out, Nadia.
And we can get over to Akon for press. We've also fully thrown in with Fandom Legacy here, and they're going to be doing a lot of other things.
Oh, very much so.
They're going to be doing kind of monthly little meetups over at the Order 66 Convention Center. So if you head out there, we're going to be out as many of those as we can.
Yep.
Hanging out, shaking hands, causing smiles. But onward and upward, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah. Keep an eye out on what other podcasts are doing to figure out how we can level up. Video podcasts are now a more popular thing than just straight up audio podcasts. So that's something that we could work on and get on the horizon. There's room for us to grow. It's just figuring out which direction we want to go.
Yep. Anything else? That's it. No more questions. Oh, that's great. Well, everybody, thanks for coming out.
I have one more question, Kevin.
What?
Do you enjoy making a podcast?
Oh, I do enjoy making a podcast very much. It's super fun.
Me too. We get to be here and talk about it and make a panel. It's great.
So I guess we should say our pizza's here, but everyone can see that there's not a pizza here.
Do we bring enough to share with everybody?
Oh, man. We need to have a pizza party sometime. That's something we're going to do in the future. We have to have the Assuming Positions pizza party.
There you go. Speaking of the future.
Pizza party. Assuming Positions pizza party.
Pizza party.
Did I just call Beetlejuice or something, saying that three times fast?
APPP? Assuming Positions pizza party?
Say it three times fast.
Assuming Positions pizza party. Assuming Positions pizza party.
Actually, it's not that hard to do. Weird. Sizzle real. All right, everybody. Thanks for coming out to the panel.
Yeah.
Have fun at the convention. Our next thing we're going to be at, if you want to see us again, let's look at the schedule here. We're going to be at Behind the Voice with Brian, right?
Brian Beacock.
Yes. We're going to be there. And then at 5:30, we will be at Assuming Positions Nerd Talk Radio.
Nerd Talk Radio.
So it's going to be like Sports Talk Radio, but Nerd Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin and Mikey with the Assuming Positions podcast. Give them a big round of applause, please.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.